Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, indeed questions coming in from around the world. Our contact information, remember, on the web is always equip.org, and via the mail it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up, Dave in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. I just had a question. Solomon mentions the last verse of Ecclesiastes, basically says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole purpose of man." And I was just wondering what you thought he was referring to there, the law of Moses, or which commandments you thought specifically was talking about, or was it just maybe generally the law of God?
Well, he is talking about all of the commandments that you find in Scripture. Solomon would look back at the Mosaic law and say, keep the commandments that have been given to you through Moses. You think about what he says in Proverbs, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life, and peace they'll add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." So you have the commandments explicated over and over again by Solomon. We're to keep the whole counsel of God. And I don't think there's any distinction between this and what we would find even in the New Covenant. Because remember, Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything has been accomplished." So Jesus did not abolish the law, he fulfilled the law. So the civil and ceremonial laws no longer have effect today. Reason being is they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And of course, their purpose in the first place was to point to Jesus Christ. So I think we can say in safety and fidelity to the Scripture that this has to do with all of the commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, everything can be summed up in that.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Hey, you got it. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gary in Florence, Oregon. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, hello. It's my understanding that God created people with free will to have someone that could decipher and decide to worship him or not, as the angels were created to where they would worship on demand. That's their job. The question is, what was the time frame between the fall of Satan and the creation of Adam?
Well, we don't know. We can say this is that the fall of Satan and a third of the angels happened before the fall of Adam, because obviously Satan was there to tempt Adam. He was the agent of temptation. So that fall took place before the fall of humanity.
Okay. I was looking to understand, was he tempting man out of not liking the situation with God creating them, or was there some other reason? Was his fall because of man, or was his fall prior to man?
No, his fall was definitely prior to man. And Satan was created just like we are created, in the sense that he had volition. God creates the angels, and he creates humankind as volitional beings. And the reason for that is without volition, love is rendered meaningless. So Satan had the opportunity to worship God or to do otherwise, and he chose to do otherwise. Had he been coerced, the love that he would have offered would have been meaningless, as would have been the requisite worship that followed. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mark in Durham, North Carolina. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I do a bit, daily Bible reading and have spent the last couple of weeks in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings, and I see frequent references to the people inquiring of God. And so they would turn to the priest or to the prophet, and you know, it was a question about whether or not they should go out and fight certain people of the land or whatever the question was. I'm curious about what that process was and to inquire of the Lord, and is there an equivalent of that today outside of what we would normally think of our day-to-day prayer?
Well, I think this is the way in which we inquire of the Lord. We are able, through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, to go directly into the throne room of God and speak to the Lord about whatever is on our mind, knowing that He hears us, that He loves us, that He cares for us, and that He will answer us in accordance with His will. So we pray in the presence, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And that is a way of acknowledging God's sovereignty. He sees the panoply of our lives. We see only a snippet at a time. So we want the Lord to answer in accordance with the big picture as opposed to what we see being the right way to answer. So we ask the Lord, look, this is what I would like, but I want your will to supersede my will. In terms of the mechanism in the Old Testament, people would go to those who are called to be the leader or the prophet or the revelator in that particular situation because God, through means, spoke to people. And those people who are being used to communicate the will of God used means as well. I mean, the Urim and the Thummim were means by which God revealed His will in certain circumstances. But the prophets spoke for God as they were being led by the Spirit. So ultimately, the Spirit is animating the process.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. It seems to me that there was such a clarity. It was such a yes and a no. And I think as I pray and I know that I'm praying within God's will for something, I have the confidence that I have what I have asked for. Sometimes I'm not sure of the answer, and it just seemed like in those biblical references in the Old Testament, there was such clarity of the definitive yes or the definitive no.
Well, there were in macro principles, but I think that the issue for all of us throughout all of history has been the same, which is to say that the Lord does not blaze the floodlights, as it were, down the path of our life. Rather, He gives us enough light to step into some more light, and He does that by His grace. Because if we knew what was around the bend, we wouldn't want to face what was around the bend. However, as we get to that bend, God gives us the grace we need. So I think God has always dealt with people that way. And that's why the psalmist could say that the Lord is a light unto my path. And the picture that I always have in mind is the psalmist carrying a lantern. And every time he takes another step, he has a little more light. He steps into another ring of light as he moves down the path. And this is the way the Lord leads us through people and through circumstances.
Yeah. Well, Hank, thank you much for your answer. Thanks for taking my call. And I just want to let you know my wife and I are new supporters of your ministry, and we're happy to do so. And hope that somewhere down the road we'll be able to increase our contribution because we appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Mark. That is music to my ears. Without the support of people like Mark, we couldn't do what we do. It always seems that we are resting on the grace and goodness of God as we carry on ministry, and for that I'm grateful. Which is to say, the Lord always provides the needs of the ministry. Sometimes we lag behind and it stretches our faith, but that's the whole idea, to stretch our faith. We want to trust not in the arm of flesh, but rather in the arm of God. And I love very much that we're dependent on people because the Holy Spirit moves in the lives of people and urges them to support the ministry and even the amount by which they support the ministry. So we rely totally on the hand of God. And this is where we always want to be. We don't want to take the census as David did to find out whether we can rely on ourselves, but rather we want to solely rely upon the Lord. His work done His way by means of His provision. And in all of that, I am deeply grateful for those who are CRI support team members. Of course, when you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support. The work we're doing is very significant work, and those that stand with us make all of that possible. To join the CRI support team, it's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping His followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. Tim next in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. I'd love to listen to your show. It's just great. But, Hank, I'm concerned about this persecution of Christians. Most people think of the Muslim countries, but me, I believe that every child that is born is a child of Christ or God. So that child is a Christian. And if we're aborting 1,200,000 American babies every year, which are Christians, to me, wouldn't you consider that a persecution of Christians? And a lot of those babies are beheaded. So before we look at the splinter in some other country's eye, let's look at the thorn in our eye, don't you think?
Well, what I'm pointing out is that there is all kinds of persecution. There's soft persecution in the West, but as you point out, there's also hard persecution in the sense of abortion, which is the painful killing of an innocent human being. But I'm pointing out that the persecution against Christianity is increasing dramatically, and people, as Christians, need to recognize that there's a price for their faith, and they ought to be willing to take the stand for their faith. Because if they don't stand for their faith, the Christian faith is going to continue to falter in Western culture. In fact, what's happened in Western culture is we have been severed from our root. And when you're severed from the root as a flower, you can continue to bloom for a while, or the bloom can continue on the flower for a while, but eventually it cannot be sustained because it has no root, has no way of being nourished, and that's what's happening in the West. But yes, you're absolutely right to say that when abortion has become the law of the land, it is an absolutely horrendous thing, because there is no question whatsoever, and this is not just a metaphysical contention today, it's plain old scientific evidence that a preborn child may not have a fully form personality, and obviously doesn't, but has full personhood from the moment of conception. And therefore, to execute a baby in the womb is execution, a very, very serious issue.
Okay, Hank. I appreciate you, sir, very much.
Well, thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Tyler in Cedar City, Utah. Hi, Tyler.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. So recently I was visited by some Mormon missionaries, and they were discussing what is in their belief is like when people die who haven't had the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ in a post-mortal life, that those who have heard will become missionaries to those who haven't. And my question is just, I'm not sure, I don't think that's really what is the Christian belief system, but what is the belief system for those who lived in a time where Jesus Christ was not made known unto them?
Well, you know, Paul says that there is no such thing. He says, from one man, God created every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And I think in saying that, Paul is, in essence, saying that we have the light of creation, as he points out in Romans chapter 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. His eternal power, his divine nature, are clearly seen, being understood, says Paul, through what has been made, and therefore men are without excuse. So we have an external witness to the fact that there is a God, but we also have an internal witness, which is to say that God, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 2, God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness, and therefore, once again, we are without excuse. So the whole idea, as Paul posits it in Romans 1, 2, and 3, is that we respond to the light of creation, we respond to the light of conscience, and we'll receive further light. So it's not the absence of light that damns, it's the despising of light that damns. If we respond to light, we'll receive more light. And this is precisely what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said that light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The takeaway being that the problem is not that there's not enough light. The problem is that men respond in refusal to that light, and therefore they're culpable for not responding to the light that they have been given. I often quote Blaise Pascal in this regard, who said that God dwells in enough light so that if you want to find him, you will, and he dwells in enough obscurity so that if you do not want to find him, you won't.
Okay, so even those like the Native Americans and stuff who were born in an era where Jesus Christ was never mentioned in their lifetime, they had the opportunity to recognize God's light and to embrace it and to be God-like.
Well, absolutely. And you look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament friends of God, and Abraham was called a friend of God, he didn't have the requisite knowledge that you have. Christ had not come. He had not died upon the fulcrum of history. So Abraham looked forward to the city of God through types and shadows. And he saw things faintly that we see clearly, but yet he is considered a friend of God, and we find Abraham and the patriarchs in the Faith Hall of Fame. They are those that we are looking to as examples, the great cloud of witnesses that surround us, and therefore we're called to run the race with perseverance.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines, Dr. Benjamin, he's listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm doing well.
I've just been watching these videos on the internet from a guy named Chris LaSala, and basically just left me with a couple of mixed feelings, and I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on his videos.
Pretty sad. You know, he's KJV only, as though the KJV came down from Mount Sinai hot off the plates. He says that you have to overcome all willful and intentional sin and walk in repentance for your sinful nature. And what is that? Well, he says unintentional sin and momentary, spontaneous, unholy thoughts projected from evil spirits. Think about that for a moment. True believers, he says, have no more pain, addiction, anxiety, sickness, and suffering, but they can have demons. So this is the typical thing where pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians that cannot think biblically take the bait. And he has this very strange view of demonology, hardly comports well with a biblical worldview. And again, it starts with having a bad understanding of what Scripture is or how to read Scripture properly, and then imbibing conspiracy theories which allow him only one version of the Bible, one that was commissioned in 1604 and then completed in 1611, when we have all kinds of manuscripts which are very, very helpful that have been found far after that point in time. So the whole idea of KJV only ought to be the biggest red flag to begin with, particularly in light of the fact that there are so many things that you cannot understand in the original KJV. The reason is words that were once denotative have taken on the barnacles of time and they become connotative. So you don't really understand what those words mean unless you have those words retranslated in common parlance. So, for example, in Acts 28, this is a classic example. If I ask the average person what the King James Version meant when it says, "From thence we fetched a compass," they would have said, "Well, he went and he got a compass." Well, compasses were not even invented at that time. There's a rudimentary form in China, I suppose, but compasses were not extant at that time. This quite obviously is not what it means. What it means is from thence we proceeded in a circular course. or you read Psalm 4:2 in the original KJV, how long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Well, what does that mean? We think of leasing like leasing a house, but leasing actually means falsehood denotatively in Elizabethan English. So again, the King James only version is based on all kinds of flawed premises and very, very controversial and divisive, I might add.
Yeah, because like as a believer, I was taught that I had the blood of Jesus that was the covering that, you know, kept these demons from even coming inside of me, you know, and I've like just, there's just the focus on the demons that kind of was like, okay, well, you know, and then I started to think differently, you know, and...
Well, I love what you're doing. I think that's beautiful, Benjamin. When you think about it, what you're doing is testing what he is saying in light of Scripture, and what you say is absolutely correct. I mean, Jesus himself asked, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and then carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Well, in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is quite obviously the devil. In a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. So the force of the argument leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess believers, they would first have to bind the one who occupies them, namely God himself. Perish the thought. So again, your thinking is right and it is backed up by Scripture, and that's what we ought to do. Take people like this and test their teachings in light of Scripture. Hold fast to the good. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so on for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.